But also you just look at the simple stuff too around communicating digitally. People who know how to do website design, connect people digitally. That's a low-hanging fruit to engage with startup companies. Communication processes, marketing communications to at times press releases and engaging with media, right? Everybody wants to tell their story. And that's why I appreciate what you're doing in your podcast and sharing, making people aware of what they do, because how you build your teams, how you attract money is through those vehicles.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Looking Forward, opportunities for job, career, business, and investment seekers. If that describes you, then this is the podcast for you. If you're a freelancer, a startup or small business, a well-established company, a nonprofit, or even someone thinking about a second or possibly a third career, this is for you too. You see, here in Looking Forward, we focus on global trends in the future, but most importantly, on the opportunities they're creating. Our guest experts will not only tell you about those opportunities, they will also give you some tips to help you take the first steps toward capitalizing on them. I'm your host, Jeff Ostroff. Hi, everyone. Did you know there are a wealth of opportunities out there today for those who want to start businesses? But opportunities and startups don't just apply to entrepreneurs. Lots of others can be a part of this boom, too. My guest expert, Bill Provine, the CEO of an organization devoted to helping startups get off the ground, shares his expertise about this and much more on today's episode. To learn more about Bill, listen to the episode and check the show notes. And please don't forget to give us feedback about this or any other Looking Forward episode. Now, before we get started, I want to say a few words about our sponsor, Supapass. Do you make podcasts, video courses, or other content? Well, that means you need your own engaging website and mobile app for everything you make. And Supapass can help. Turn your followers into superfans and paid customers. Elevate your brand with your own stunning website and mobile app. And with Supapass, it's never been easier. Supapass is the most powerful content app maker on the market. And now you can try it for free. Or like me, you can be on one of their other plans. Enter code LOOKINGFORWARD, all one word, all caps, looking forward, and get a 10% lifetime discount on any of their plans. Go to superpass.com. That's super with an A, superpass.com. And hey, if you want us to mention your organization on the show, please contact us for more details. Okay, let's get started. Hi, Bill. Welcome to Looking Forward, opportunities for job, career, business, and investment seekers.
Great to be here, Jeff. Looking forward to the conversation.
Thank you. And thank you for using the tagline of the show name. I like when people do that. Bill, you are an expert on what's happening in the entrepreneurial world. And I think it would be interesting for our listeners to hear how it was and when it was that you first got involved in this and what captivated you about entrepreneurship?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I guess in heart, I think we're all a little bit of an entrepreneur at heart, right? I look at it as kind of a continuum from doing new things through the course of your life, learning new technologies, learning new skill sets, and transforming them into building businesses, right? So for me, it was just that. I'm not quite sure I could wake up and say, aha, this was the moment, but probably started with my PhD research, right? Where you're kind of progressing some really new barriers of looking at alternative fuels and kind of started in that sort of world and then sort of started with the technology lens and then added the business building block features when I got to DuPont, right? And how do you manufacture in something? How do you get the financial and legal frameworks? How do you get a team together? How do you look at markets and talk to customers, right? And you package all that together. And then you say, of course, now I need to bring it together in terms of new ventures. And did that to a large degree in DuPont for many years with doing, maybe not referred to as an entrepreneur, but an intrapreneur.
Yes.
We're building new projects and businesses in DuPont. And then, of course, most recently, then launched that out and starting a startup supporting startups, which is the innovation space, which I founded in 2017 to help support science entrepreneurs.
Yes. And it's interesting. A startup about startups. I like that.
Correct.
Let's have you talk a little bit about that. You are the president and CEO of Innovation Space, which is based in Delaware. Can you tell us a little bit about Innovation Space?
Yeah. Well, what would I say overall? What are we trying to accomplish, right? We're trying to enable folks to change the world, powered by science and driven by entrepreneurship, right? So allowing people to tackle big challenges from curing cancer to combating climate change. And it's really in the backbone trying to make fundamental improvements to the human condition, right? Because if we're not all here to make each other's lives better, why are we around, right? So from that perspective. But the Innovation Space is, think about it as an ecosystem, both virtual, like we're here today, right, in some regards, and also a physical environment. So we have 130,000 square feet of lab and office space here where people actually innovate in our laboratories and create those new inventions that create those businesses that then cure cancer and curb climate change. We also have a lot of virtual programming. So today with mentorship through teaching people about thinking about customer segmentation and bringing in that market expertise, a lot of that we actually do virtually. So we actually help companies from across the country and the United States, as well as internationally, so we can actually bring our expertise to where those people are today, right? Which I think is very empowering. So that's kind of where we're at an overall level. When you look at fundamentally the type of things that we support, well, one, I always say it's a collaborative spirit here at the Innovation Space. Almost everything we do is with people, right? With others. We had a great foundational partnership with DuPont, the University of Delaware, and the state of Delaware to help found us as an independent nonprofit. And we're hyper-focused in areas, you know, where we're strongest at, right? What are those things sort of supporting in the life sciences, broadly speaking, a lot in therapeutics, clean tech and advanced materials partnerships there as well, and supporting material science companies is focused on things like semiconductors and helping them all kind of accelerate their path to market through all of our tools in our toolkit here. So I can go on and on and on about this too, but yes. One thing that's kind of fun to think about physically as well. We're located also on the side of the experimental station that's been around for generations, hundreds of years. If you think about it's a complex that's 2 million square feet of landscape here. We have 130,000 square feet of that, so 5 or 6% of that. And this is a place where nylon was invented. Even most recently, the drug Eliquis was invented, actually in the building that we actually own as well with the nonprofit right now. So just so much has happened here. It's just inspirational by heritage, and it's inspirational by what the people are doing here today. So again, maybe I'll pause there. I could keep going on for
hours.
I think. Yeah.
And we'll give you a chance to talk at the end a little bit about that too, Bill. Quick follow-up question. Roughly speaking, how many companies, startups are a part of the Innovation Space?
Yeah, so it's kind of an evolution over time. We've been, like I said, we're startups supporting startups. We've been around now for 7 years. So over that 7 years, we've supported 115 or so companies. Mm. About a third of those physically in person here, and two-thirds actually through our virtual programming. So you can kind of see that proportionality. Our companies have grown pretty dramatically over the time period. You know, they've raised over $1 billion in funding.
Wow.
Actually, about $1.2 billion in funding of those companies. And some need to raise more money than others, but you're just getting them off and running. That's a great benchmark just to say how significant the growth has been for the companies that we've supported.
Yes. And I should add, which I didn't say at the very beginning, I've always had an interest in innovation and startups and entrepreneurialism, which is one of the reasons why I was so interested in having you get on the show. Looking forward, Bill, as you may know, is in part about trends. What are some, you're not going to be able to talk about all of these probably, but what are some of the major trends that you see taking place in the world of entrepreneurship these days?
Yeah, well, there's, of course, capabilities or enablers that are newly focused important areas. For example, a big push today, which is critical for just doing anything that we do, right, is a big push for equity and inclusion in all aspects of entrepreneurship, from mentorship through access to capital and deployment of talent. And I mentioned a little bit about the virtuality. The virtuality helps us kind of cross bridges that we used to. You don't have to necessarily locate in one particular area to be able to access what you need to innovate and create new ideas. So again, trying to enable people to do that wherever they reside, right? Across the nation, across the globe, right? So to me, it really is embracing everybody, no matter where you come from, what you look like, where you're at today, you know, that we enable you to get done what you want to do as an entrepreneur. So that's a huge push. Really globally, hyper-focused in the United States right now is a key topic. You know, continue healthy trends, biotech and software as a service, software-related enterprises, tech-related enterprises are constantly getting a huge amount of venture capital, the lion's share of that. But important things that need to be done, right? There's always diseases that need to be cured, unfortunately. And yes. Major trends, like I said, like climate change, that need solutions to enable us all to still be here on this planet, right? Days and weeks and months and generations from now. So sustainability, when you look at the trends, both corporately and in startups, there's funding, more funding for sustainable companies. Everybody wants to see companies be sustainable, but you actually do have the sector that's funding climate change solutions, which you didn't have 10 years ago, honestly. Yes. Globally, right? I mean, that's where places like the European Union and some of their frameworks are, at least on the research side, pushing more dollar amounts there and really helping to do some great work, as well as, of course, the VCs that have formed in the U.S. and beyond. So, you know, those dollars are scarce, but at least they're there now versus they weren't there before. And maybe the other one I mention is just the intensification of tech and everything that we do. Tech, I mean more the digital front, artificial intelligence, machine learning, and mixing there a little bit, cybersecurity. They're booming, right? They're integrating in almost everything that people are doing within reason. Even, you know, design of new therapeutics or using advanced tools to guide them in that direction to, you know, of course, we all see the generative AI online and things that today, you know, with OpenAI and others that people are already enjoying. Well, that's only going to get more and more intense. And you're seeing that now. And the role of the public enterprise, maybe I'll just mention that as well. Important thing, I mean, especially over the last few years, there's been a number, I'll mention mostly here, U.S. example, but with the ARPA funding, with the America Rescue Plan Act, there's been billions of dollars coming to the street to support entrepreneurship. One in particular, under the Department of Treasury, it's a $6 billion loan and venture capital program that's spreading that venture capital across the United States to enable people to access it through their states, as well as, of course, the federal programs that are still out there like SBIR and SCDR programs.
Just to follow up on these things, Bill, in terms of the global aspect of this, I'm going to tie that in with what you said about virtuality, okay?
Yep.
You've been leading this group for 7 years now. Are you seeing as a trend that there are more partnerships, collaborative ventures that are transatlantic, where companies in India are working more with entrepreneurs in the United States, vice versa, China, whatever it might be?
Yeah.
Are you seeing anything there in the way of trending?
I would say not as strongly as maybe parochially, you know, country by country, but there continues to be bilateral agreements that drive some of that. For example, between Israel and the United States, there's something called the Bird Grant that sponsored from the Israel side there to try to drive kind of like that connection. So I think you have these bilateral agreements that tend to have a little bit of a nature there, but it really just ties back to what people are doing within their backyard. And then they're connecting it through, you know, project by project partnerships. But I wouldn't say it's driven by a systematic level, right? You know, when you introduce politics in the mix, it gets a pretty daunting challenge sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. Doing business, there's different rules in different places and
correct.
Laws, exactly, right. You know, all that stuff. How about from the standpoint of the demographics? You're mentioning inclusivity and that sort of thing. Yep. Maybe think about that. So are we seeing, for example, more female entrepreneurs? Are we seeing people who are over 55 getting involved in entrepreneurship and over 60? What are you seeing demographically in terms of any changes, any trending?
Well, we're definitely seeing an intensifying vector in terms of more women, more people of color entering, you know, the pipeline in a variety of pathways. Is that detectable, for example, at the VC level in terms of where the VC money is going today? It's still not where it needs to be. It's the data still where we're in the single digits of the amount of VC money going to female leaders and people of color, right? So that's is an area of improvement, but you know, we're definitely seeing people across the board. I mean, when you look at the companies that we work with, where I would say they're slightly more complicated, like getting a drug to market through a therapeutic, right? You have regulatory challenges. You got to know how to patent, create the new technology. You've got to go through clinical trials, right? actually, our entrepreneurs are 50 plus. I mean, you know, at times, because people have to learn the tricks of the trade, I guess. You want to, you know, skill sets to be able to do that. You know, where you might see on the software side, actually, you definitely have more the undergraduates and the people in their 20s. On the hyper science side, you'll probably see it a slightly older crowd. I think it just comes back into, we all have a stage in life where we learn certain things, and some people learn it quicker than others. So I wouldn't say there's a definite litmus test or a profile that says it's this or that. I mean, it's a pretty broad spectrum, but generally speaking, we'll see folks generally post PhDs in our environment and other ones that there'll be a younger crowd. I would say, I mean, the push is going back to some data, and I can't say I have the breakdown by demographics, but kind of the statement of don't waste a good crisis. You know, when the pandemic set in across the world, and at least I have US data on this, where, you know, new business applications surge. You know, they were topping 5 million in 2021 and 2022, where people did have a time to reflect and say, hey, what else could I do? How might I do that? They started to figure that out. So you did see a lot of people entering the mix with new ideas. I can't say, you know, the next step is getting all those funded, right? So I think we're still in the process of doing some of that. Mentioning crisis as well globally, which this is more of a sad statement in a way, but you look at the conflict in Ukraine and across the world in the Middle East and with defense tech, right? That Ukraine's been called today, some people, I don't call it this, but we call it a war lab, where they're testing stuff and they're pressured to innovate much more quickly. It's like when there's a crisis, people will innovate and bring solutions to market because it's survival mode, right? You see the examples on the news of items like that where, you know, it used to be a missile hitting a ship and sinking it. Now it's dozens, if not hundreds, of drones or small flight vehicles that are doing that, where they weren't designed to detect those things. So the world evolves on many fronts. Powerful example, when, you know, I used to travel across India, where, you know, it'd be referred to as frugal innovation, where people don't have as much. In the US, I would say it's a lot about high throughput. There's money to do whatever experiments you thought. And in some ways, again, I think people don't think as critically about every experiment that they do. They just keep running more and more high throughput experiments and just run it through the process. And you get into India, so like every experiment, they look at how much it costs, and I would say it's a high level thought process before you even do that first experiment. I say both approaches actually are great. I just think it's different, right? And then they then get into the companies. The companies are funded differently depending on where you are around the world. Like, for example, the US clearly is the leader in entrepreneurship, right? We do most of that activity here. Per capita, Israel's great, right? But you get into China, and China funds a lot of stuff from the state government perspective. There's entrepreneurship done there. It's just done differently. And the money comes from different sources. And I think that's where culturally it does change the process.
Yeah. Great points. I love the contrast in countries that you're speaking about. And also, I like the point you made about you'll see a lot of entrepreneurs, particularly maybe in the sciences, who may be over 50 because they have the experience that's needed. And then, of course, you have the entrepreneurs who are older who maybe may have failed a number of times, but they're still in there, right, in the game, where they succeeded back in the game, as the case may be.
Yeah, and you'll see that too. I mean, once it kind of gets in your blood a little bit, and again, as you figure out, again, entrepreneurship in some ways can be taught the process, right? And as you get to know it, I mean, you see a lot of people who are serial entrepreneurs, the Elon Musk, one day you're doing electric cars, the next day you're doing rockets, and the next day you're putting chips in humans, right? So when someone gets that sort of DNA enabled, right, they just keep going, right? Going. Okay, another idea. Okay, let's go park this over here and do it this way. It's about building teams, right? I mean, nobody does this all by themselves. It's about access to capability and then access to the talent to enable your team to thrive.
Absolutely. I really hope you're enjoying this episode so far. If you are, can you please do me a small favor? Let some of your family members, friends, or others in your network know about it and about Looking Forward, opportunities for job, career, business, and investment seekers. And hey, if you happen to like this podcast, my interviewing approach, or maybe even my voice, please consider checking out some of the many services my business provides. These include podcast hosting, creation and consulting, voiceovers, professional interviewing, production of audio or video profiles to help you sell your business, promote your services, increase your customers, or raise funding, and services to help you market to the large and growing seniors population.
That's something I've actually written a book about. To learn more, please visit www.jeff-ostroff.com. You can also email me at jeff@jeff-ostroff.com. Now let's get back to this episode of Looking Forward, Opportunities for Job, Career, Business, and Investment Seekers.
Bill, as you may well know, Looking Forward's primary focus is on opportunities. So based on your expertise, the things you've talked about, we'll start with entrepreneurs themselves. We can then maybe get into some other groups of people who aren't entrepreneurs. Where do you see opportunities for individuals who have an entrepreneurial spirit?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going back to any individual and saying, where's your passion lie, right? I mean, I think no entrepreneur will be successful unless they have the passion to want to do that. And the passion not only has to be about building the business and the mechanics of doing that, but the passion is about what you're trying to accomplish. The best entrepreneurs, again, are trying to cure a disease of that a relative who suffered from that disease. And you see them out there. They're driven by a much higher level sort of drive that I think is critically important in any entrepreneur that they meet, that they're the most successful. So I think, you know, when you go back, that's like, I would say for the entrepreneur, focus more on where's your passion, but also where's a critical human need. Now there's opportunities in health and wellness, pretty broadly speaking. I mean, cancer clearly, neurodegenerative diseases, like you look at Alzheimer's, right? The aging population, we're all, in some ways, the world's getting a little bit older every day. And with that, there's new challenges and new markets, right? You have to look and say, not only am I wanting to make the world a better place, you also say, where's the market? Do I have something that investors will give me money to get a return on investment? So you have to do that sequentially, or I should say in parallel to changing the condition that you're trying to get to. Protecting the planet, safety. I mentioned the defense tech example, sustainability and energy. So pick where you're really driven and kind of start there. And then I think there's lots of tools to help you get there. There's a lot of virtual accelerator programs. We have one called Science Inc. There's a lot of in-person accelerator programs that kind of help you, you know, join in with a cohort of other companies and other entrepreneurs at the early stage, get your idea refined, right? To get it to the point where you think you got something that's worthy of more time invested and engaging other people in your journey. And then you gotta sell that vision, right? So that's where the passion comes in. How can one sell a vision to someone else if they don't have the passion for it themselves? So I think that connectivity still remains very, very critical. And where you can go, right? There's a number of maker spaces, physical facilities like that. You know, I mentioned we have a 130,000 square foot incubator here in Wilmington, Delaware. They're located all across the country. Depending on the domain you're in, they're different. So you're going to have to look. And I'd say you also have to be willing to not just sit where you're at constantly. And maybe I need to go relocate for a couple months to gain access to this physical capability, versus there's other things you could just stay exactly where you're at and say, and I can build a lot of it just right from here. So I think flexibility, you have to pull together a collection of assets and capabilities early on from a no-cost perspective. That's why when you look out there at these accelerator programs, a lot of them, there's a number that you can get free of charge that are driven by government funding. And there's other ones that you'd have to give a part of the equity in your company to join that. But again, can add a lot of value. I'd say don't be afraid to share the value in your company with others, but there's a smart and a less smart way to do that. And I think those are things to think through as you're given those examples. And the opportunity, I guess, kind of maybe the flip side, it's the challenge, but also the opportunity is, like I said, we've got a ways to go, but we've got to create an entrepreneurial arena that's really embracing the diversity and representation in STEM. We need everybody, no matter where they're at, to be able to do things, right? You know, we need all people who are like, I work in the sciences a lot with our companies, and we need more talent every day. So, and that we got to keep investing to get more and more people in that pipeline. So across the board, there's huge opportunities from people who are K through 12 teachers to get new people in the pipeline to, at the end of the day, you know, other people are helping the entrepreneurs to succeed.
Yeah, that kind of was getting at the other thing I was wondering about, which is you have somebody who isn't an entrepreneur, but they want to get involved with an entrepreneur as a freelancer, as an employee, that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Opportunities there as well, Bill, that go along with these entrepreneurial businesses that you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like I said, it takes a team of people to make anything like this successful.
Yes.
The entrepreneur starts as, at times, one or two or three, four people co-founding a concept, brainstorming that, sketching out, as they say, on the napkin or whatever you're doing. Chalkboard all day, is here virtually online with sticky notes on the online collaboration tools. And you need people in the team that know legalities. So lawyers, people who are savvy in that world to help negotiate the right contracts. Finances, it's about, you have to have money to fund the company. You still have to file taxes. You've got to write grants. So people that have financial acumen can come in and assist those companies. And where you can do a lot of this from a fractional perspective, even more powerful, like when you're starting up a team, you can't afford to hire a CFO and a chief legal officer, whatever, from day one. Where you can provide that on a fractional basis, I challenge people to get in there and volunteer some time early on. That's a way to put sweat equity in the game for the future payoff, potentially. But if everybody feels like I'm going to go do this and I need to be compensated for every minute I spend on this, that's not how entrepreneurship works. You got to go in there with a little bit of sweat equity, enable this thing to become successful. At the end of the day, if you're working on a good concept, it's going to have a good market opportunity. And when it's successful, there's enough value to share across a variety of partners there. But also, you just look at the simple stuff too around communicating digitally. People who know how to do website design, connect people digitally. That's a low-hanging fruit to engage with startup companies. Communication processes, marketing communications to at times press releases and engaging with media, right? Everybody wants to tell their story. And that's why I appreciate what you're doing in your podcast and sharing, making people aware of what they do, because how you build your teams, how you attract money is through those vehicles. And of course, investors, people have money, need to find the great ideas. So there's a variety of ways, if you're lucky enough to be in that world or have enough money to invest in companies, you know, you can be an angel investor, you could put money in a VC fund or bring that money to bear to kind of help that next generation of ideas get moving forward. I mean, I just think a huge opportunity. It's almost like you can't come up with a concept that you couldn't help.
Yeah. And I was going to say that you anticipated something that I was going to follow up and ask you about, which is the whole investment community that is so vital and critical to what these entrepreneurs are trying to achieve. And I know that you get very much involved with that, with what you're doing. Yeah. Looking forward is also about looking into the future, and we don't look very far ahead. We're just looking through the decade. It's too hard. You already alluded to COVID. Who knew? Maybe a few people exactly. were saying it was going to happen, but most people really didn't think it was going to be something like that, something cataclysmic. Yeah. So with that being said, what do you see on the horizon over the next several years in terms of the entrepreneurial world? Do you see a continuing boom in entrepreneurship? Do you see more kinds of collaborative relationships, more global involved? What are you seeing, Bill?
Well, some of it's systematically, right? I think we'll see continued public investment and some amount of private investment in creating a more inclusive and diverse ecosystem, right? So across the whole spectrum, a lot of that's going to be in STEM related, you know, science, technology, engineering, mathematics and medicine pipeline oriented work, but you'll see it also more broadly speaking. I think more supportive when you look at cross borders, I hope we get there, more supportive immigration, you know, the flow of people across borders. Because I think depending on what your skill set is and where that's happening in the world, not every place is created equally from that perspective. And people may migrate to different regions in the world depending on what they're wanting to work on. And, you know, with that too, I think we'll see an intensifying and shifting landscape in policy and incentives. What I hope we can get over, right, is that sometimes when you look around the world is we get lost in the country by country. That's why I said we tend not to do as well when you cross country boundaries. But even in the United States, we don't do as well when you cross state lines and county lines and city lines. Everybody wants a job. Everybody wants a job in their backyard. And I hope we can get, and that's more of acting like in a scarcity mindset. If you have it, I can't have it. Well, no, if you actually grow a landscape, we both can have it. Yeah. So I hope we get a stronger growth mindset as time evolves here. And in sectorial wise, right, I already mentioned AI and machine learning will continue to change the game in terms of how work's done, how quickly things get to market. It'll create challenges as well as opportunities as that moves forward. Climate change, I think we're slightly taking our eye off the ball on that here recently. Yeah. Where probably got more support a couple of years ago, but I think that's going to, we're already seeing it resurfacing in terms of all the havoc it's doing with the natural occurring man-made driven hurricanes and tropical flows and, you know, all the challenges that we have around that landscape. So we're going to continue to need to do more in that area. When people see a human dying from a disease, they go, we need to really fix that. Unfortunately, right now, when we see the planet dying, some people don't quite see it as clearly or acutely as if they saw a loved one die, right? So in my mind, I think what we'll see in the next decade, people will start shifting. Do I really want to live? Can I live in this sort of environment where I can't even count on my house being able to remain on a solid piece of land, right? Really testing the fundamentals. And health and wellness, it's become much more personalized, right? Either through health tech, wellness tech, but also even in therapeutics where things are being more tailored towards your genetics. And with that, have much more powerful and tailored therapies that help us more with rare diseases or people that may not predominantly respond to a certain chemotherapy. As an example, some of these more targeted therapies will help those folks actually have options for cures that weren't there before. So I think collectively, all that kind of together, I think systematically there's opportunities, challenges, but also exciting frontiers that continue to evolve. I mean, look back 50 years and where we are today, even look back 10 years ago. I mean, it's a rapidly evolving landscape.
It is absolutely very, very good points there. Before I have you talk a little bit about innovation space, just a quick question. You've given us quite a few tips already. If we're thinking about, in this case, somebody who is looking to maybe make a career change, get into a second career, is there any other tip that you haven't provided that you might suggest for somebody like that, Bill?
Yeah, and it's not the easiest way to get connected. One, I think it depends on the sector that you're most interested in. I would say networking events that are focused in that particular sector. If it's in bio, there's national and local biotechnology associations that you can go out to. But virtually, there's some easy stuff to do, right? I mean, like get on LinkedIn. I mean, LinkedIn to me is still the best networking tool for entrepreneurship and things like I've spoken about today. LinkedIn lets you not, it used to be like you had to connect with them to talk with them. Now you can follow whoever you really want on LinkedIn. And, you know, there's a lot of folks like, I have a lot of colleagues on this. I serve on the National Advisory Council for Innovation and Entrepreneurship with the Department of Commerce. All our names are listed on the website. Just get on LinkedIn and start following people like that that are hyper-connected. And it'll just feed you a lot of information. You go, oh, I didn't know that, or I didn't think about it that way. Nice part about that is we're all hyper-connected people, and each of us see a different perspective and just be stimulated by a lot of different opportunities and conversations that you might not have otherwise picked up on the broad press. Sometimes things are covered in Washington Post or Time Magazine, but most of the time it's through forums like on LinkedIn that'll give you a little bit more detailed information. And universities also are a hotbed for similar activities. A lot of the universities have alumni groups that focus on entrepreneurship as well.
Great ideas. Bill, what can you tell our listeners about how they can learn more about you, perhaps? Probably more important in your mind might be innovation space and anything else that they might want to know about when it comes to the topic that we've been focusing on today, entrepreneurship, the entrepreneurial world.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at connecting with me or the organization, I mean, the easiest way to do it is on our website, innovationspace.org. We're a nonprofit. Reach out to us. There's a contact form there. We're happy to engage, get you involved with our virtual programming, and wherever you're at, we can get you engaged. Being a nonprofit ourselves, I spend a lot of our time disseminating information, sharing tricks of the trade. And we do a lot of that through virtual means. Like I said, on LinkedIn, encourage you to follow the Innovation Space on LinkedIn. For me personally, that's a great way to connect as well. We not only push our own content, we're a nonprofit. We look for opportunities. We're kind of a curator of content. We push that out in the domains we operate in through our channels and magnify that.
Bill, this has been wonderful. I love not only your knowledge, but your enthusiasm about the topic. It's obvious that you feel very strongly about it. And also the fact that the opportunities that you're speaking about are far flung. You're talking about a whole gamut of different possibilities of things that you're seeing going on and things that will continue to move forward as we go through the rest of the decade. Thank you again so much for being our guest on Looking Forward, Opportunities for Job, Career, Business, and Investment Seekers.
Thank you as well, Jeff.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Looking Forward, Opportunities for Job, Career, Business, and Investment Seekers. I hope you've enjoyed it and will benefit from it. And if you did like it, please share this episode with anyone you know who you think might also find it of value. And if you have any comments or questions about Looking Forward, or any suggestions for future topics or guest experts, you can reach me at the website www.jeff-ostroff.com or through my email address, jeff@jeff-ostroff.com. Thanks.